Radio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And if you have family members and friends that are on the internet and they would like to tune in, send them a note and just ask them to tune in to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And right on the front page on the left-hand side, you'll see the Listen Live link. Well, we certainly have a lot to talk about today. And I mean, this is going to be an interesting broadcast because there are a few issues I'd like to clarify. And I have two people on the program with me today that are going to help clarify it. And that is number one, Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the Made in America store, and Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. I'm here with Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, and I am Michael Blihash, your host. And I thank all of you for tuning in and spreading the word because it's really important. One of the things that I hear from people is that they enjoy listening to the broadcast anytime they choose. If they can't listen at 11 o'clock, they'll listen later in the day when they're doing their emails. They do try to keep in close contact with what we're doing. And I have to say, guys, all of you have been doing a great job. I'm going to ask you to visit the front page of American Workers Radio, where you'll see not only the pictures of our panel members, but you'll find the debt clock. And that's been a very big draw. We've received a number of clicks on the debt clock this week. Please do check it out. You will see that we encourage them to put more information than they've ever had on there before. I would like you to take a look at it yourself. Also, there's a video on there. It's Miracle on the Delaware, 1955. It's a very well done 10-minute YouTube click type link. Do check it out. You'll be very, very pleased with what that shows. Of course, we're not going to be able to get back to those types of days, but we can certainly work toward positive efforts where we see more people employed. Well, Rich Larkin and all of our listeners, this Sunday is June the 14th, and that is Flag Day in America. And I'm urging all of you to display the flag of the United States of America. And in fact, I'm urging all of you to keep it up until Labor Day as a sign of solidarity with American workers, America's businesses, and in honor of all those who served America through its armed forces and many other operations where they gave their time, talents, and even put their lives on the line. The American flag, as you know, is not a decoration. It's an important symbol of who we are as a nation and the freedom that we cherish. It's our flag, and I plead with all of you to make sure that you display it on Flag Day and keep it up through the summer. So you'll go out and buy another flag if it gets a little faded or whatever. Keep it up through the summer and through Labor Day. Let's show our solidarity. Every time someone sees an American flag, it gives them a good impression. And as we go on, people are starting to say, I see more American flags flying than I've seen in years. What do you have to say about that, Mark?
Oh, hi, guys, and all the listeners. Welcome. Mike, you couldn't have said it better. That flag, and if you ask any veteran, that flag is everything. You know, that stands for our way of life. And I personally fly it at every business, you know, pretty well year-round. You know, I used to get accused, you know, they'd wear out and they'd say, well, you're flying them too much, you know, but I love I don't think you could fly it too much. So, you know, this day is real big. I'm glad you started on Flag Day because it's real important. It's this Sunday, and you should do it all year round. But we, like you said, if you can do it from, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day when the weather's better and get that flag flying, and it shows, it brings people together. And that's our whole goal here, Mike, is to unite to everyone. And one team, one goal, one country, one goal. Let's get healthy and stay healthy.
Absolutely. And Rich, what do you think about our Flag Day? I know that you were fighting down there to have the American flag flying. How'd you make out?
Yeah, well, that business has an American flag. And, Mark, I'm pretty sure they got it from your store. I don't know that for certain. I should have waited there at the computer and annoyed them to make sure they did. But I didn't have a problem, Michael, with the flying of other flags. But I just thought it was odd that there'd be these numerous flags of different countries and nation states, and not an American flag. And to the credit of the business owner, I didn't go there to. I went to be a customer and asked, and having gone in a few times in my usual annoying way, the owner came to understand. Yeah, I should have. You're right. I should have a flag, and he put it up, Michael.
And the good part of it is, Rich, if you didn't bring that to his attention, in many cases that flag it would just go unnoticed. They wouldn't care. Many people, it's a decoration. And that's not what the flag represents. To us, it is a symbol of freedom, a symbol of honor, a symbol of unity. And you helped him allow people who come to his establishment to see that flag and be united with those goals. Larkin, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
We are wonderful. We opened today discussing about the importance of the flag, people saluting the flag, people displaying the flag, and getting more people together in a form of solidarity.
That's great. That's fantastic, and it's a beginning. Symbols are always great. They're always great to stand behind, and the greatest symbol in the world is the American flag.
You know, gentlemen, I have to tell you, I want to give you a little bit of an update now. Even Rich or Larkin, you may know a little bit more than I do, but a couple days ago, I called Washington about the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. Now, I know they've been trying to push that very heavy, but I have to say that Congress is waking up and they did not bite onto what they were urged to do. They were urged to fast-track this Trans-Pacific. In fact, what drives me nuts when I called there to ask about it, they don't call it the Trans-Pacific Trade. They say, are you calling about the TPP? And I said, no. What's that? And so I said, it's a Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership I'm calling about. Oh, well, that's what it's known as. I said, well, if I didn't know what I was calling about, and you said, are you calling about the TPP? I wouldn't know what you're talking about. So what's happening is our good listeners and many people are calling Washington and letting the people know what they feel about this, because quite frankly, I think this is another way that the American people are going to get screwed if they don't speak up. What do you think about that, Mark?
I absolutely agree. Yeah, and it's good to – so what you're saying, Mike, is also right now they did not sign it off.
No, they didn't.
Great news.
That's wonderful news because, you know, they keep saying, well, this is going to be the easy, you know, way for us to get more business and all. And I say, is any of that stuff documented? That's what I'm calling for. Can you email me a document that tells me how America is going to benefit from this? Well, they're discussing it, and it's, you know, quietly being done, and it's the way they have things structured. They don't put this on paper. It's done by the partnership. There's 12 or 14 of the Asian nations and all. I said, oh, no. I said, that's why I'm calling Senator Casey and Senator Toomey not to back it, because I don't think it's really something they should be backing unless it's documented. We're supposed to have full disclosure of everything that's going to be passed through the House and Senate. I don't see any of that.
And Mike, I think to grow this country right now, you gotta put that off on a back burner, because we're not even sure what's in it. And I think a lot of the politicians don't even know what's in this TPP, and everything I've heard about it from my side, of course, we talk to a lot of vendors that made in America products and having trouble staying alive here, where it's not going to help them. It might even knock them out of the park. It's kind of like lighting a fuse and not knowing where them explosives are.
That's right.
The
until
guy that
it's...
lights the fuse, gets the award, gets the pat on the back, don't have a clue, and this fuse is burning and going to take care of some stuff that we need.
That's right. right. And I want to just, before we move on, I just want to tell everybody again, we have an easy access link located right on the front page of American Workers Radio. It's has a nice USA.gov thing. Contact your elected officials here. Just click on that and you'll put in your zip code and your state, and you'll be able to know exactly who your representative is in Washington, as well as your state representatives, your congressman, whatever you want to know. You'll be able to do that from this site. It's very well done. They made it a little more complicated in the last few months. Henry and I were talking about that. It was you were able to put in your zip code before, and all your elected officials within that zip code area would come up. Now you have to go through a few steps to get the information. I don't know if the elected people didn't want to hear from that many people or whatever. But that's the story in a nutshell. So please do call them and tell them you do not want them to vote for the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership or the TPP. In fact, write that down, TPP, so that nobody baffles you with the nonsense that they like to try to get across to you. Other than that, we have a lot of things. And Mark, by the way, I think that somebody like yourself, you should be called on to negotiate a trade agreement like this.
You know, it's just a lot of times comes back to common sense. And again, Bob Chesbro, who I'll get Bob on the show. He owns Wigwam Socks, and Wigwam Sock is in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and he's third generation. And Bob went to Washington and's been around and said he was an outlaw in his own shows. You know, that's why he doesn't do the shows in our country, because he felt like an outlaw. He was the only Made in America textile company left. And he's got I'm going to get him on the show. Rich, make sure me and you will talk about this. But Bob really, he had told me himself that this could, you know, really knock a lot of the last trade agreements, a lot of work out of this country, along with New Balance. They said it might knock them off. You know, a percentage of their sneaker is still made here, and it may not be because of this TPP. So that scares me when I hear these guys, and they know what they're talking about. We've got to look in that box and see what's in there.
You know what's really interesting is when they say that the president and certain individuals in the administration are trying to fast-track the trade agreement deals. Why? Why is that? If the people in the House and the Senate don't understand what it's all about, Rich said last week it's going to be another one of these Affordable Care Act type situations. Rush it through and then read it later.
But Mike, if it knocks one job out of you,
that's right. I don't want to hear this nonsense anymore.
We need every job. We can't have it knock any jobs out. They've never been, not one's been successful and good for the United States.
Not one. In fact, I can take a ride down any place here in the Philadelphia area. I can take a ride on to New York City, and I can go on the turnpike and also go down on the train to Washington and see not only dozens but hundreds of empty facilities that were filled 10 and 12 years ago, and they're not ready to fall down. These are more modern institutions.
For our listeners, if they don't really understand, you know, when you give away work, when, you know, I as a business owner, Rich as a business owner, we're looking for work, we're looking for our next sale. But when you give away work to other countries when we don't have enough work as it is, that's the problem with the trade act that they're trying to sign, this TPP.
Absolutely.
Mark, the thing also, if I, Michael, may add that we are all reliant upon the very little details that we can get from published reports. And what's actually very overlooked about this agreement is it's actually part of a trio of agreements, all of which are meant to, as they're sold, better sync the United States with other nations and look to possibly exclude other nations. And the problem ultimately amongst many with this TPP agreement, because this is the big one of the three of them, is that the president wants to fast track this where he'll have Republican support. Many Democrats are publicly criticizing the fast tracking of it. And what is happening, Michael, is something that occurs a lot with the highest levels of elected officials, which is this. Trust us. We know what's best. When the Affordable Care Act went through, the problem, Michael, is the Pelosi comment about we've got to pass it to what the context of all that was we've got to get the law in place because once it passes a certain level of legislation, then the entire Congress can read it. With the Affordable Care Act, every Democrat in Congress voted for it. Every Republican voted against it. And I'm thinking, there wasn't one Democrat that disagreed? There wasn't one Republican who agreed? I mean, all that was just get it through. And in this case, what's interesting is the president, who, in my opinion, historically we're going to see about him, that one of the things that really, in my opinion, probably prevented the president from being more effective is he wanted to be everything to everybody. And that is not what ultimately a leader does. And even the president himself has publicly said things about trade and about jobs where you look at this agreement and you look at the secrecy behind it. And as I see it, Michael, what we are doing, just like we did with prior trade agreements, is this erosion, this gradual erosion of abdicating sovereignty, influence over our economic affairs, our labor, our taxation, abdicating some of that sovereignty, that autonomy to other countries. That is not what the United States should be doing. The United States' philosophy with the rest of the world should be this, Michael. Dear world, don't call us, we'll call you. Love America, XOXO. That's not meant to be an isolationist comment. We've said it on the show before. Mark, and you said it on the show. Michael, we need foreign investment. We need foreign investment. But there is a humongous difference between foreign investment and just severing limbs of ours to hand them off to other nations. And if in 20, 30 years from now, this thing has actually worked, of course, the president at the time, right, President Obama at that time will be enjoying his retirement saying, I told you it would work. Michael, that is not how this trade agreement can impact for the next several decades and beyond.
Absolutely.
The whole let's wait and see how it is, that's not how a real business, that's not real life, Michael. That's not reality. And
right.
The problem with the politicians is they can get away with fantasy land because even if this thing, Michael, were out in the open, in public, most of America wouldn't know a damn thing about it because most of America doesn't know anything. And that's the problem. And that's why politicians can get away with pretty much whatever they want to get away with.
You know, Rich, there's no question that we live in a very global economy, and we all know that international trade is very important to America's economy and also to American workers, all of our dock workers and everybody else. However, I see, and I'm sure every person who's listening and will listen later on today, sees that it's equally important to have absolutely no less than 50% of every type of product that we make in America available for the international market. What makes you sad to see is container ships coming to America. They're low to the water. They're leaving with all the empty containers, and they're high up in the water. That means that we're not sending much back, but we are bringing a lot in. And that's what the unfortunate part. Until we get this thing back into line where it should be, I don't think any trade agreement should be allowed unless it's voted on in a referendum by the people. And that's the bottom line as far as I'm concerned. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And we always said, you know, you need 5 years. You got to really focus on this country. Keep the eye totally on the country. It's not closing off the borders completely, but really we got to start at home and get this country healthy, and that's how you would do it. You can't sign any other agreement until we grow this country here. And even writing all my checks this morning, even just my payroll checks, in realizing the money, you know, the food and shelter and clothing you give people. I mean, businesses create jobs that give people the money they need to live and lead a quality life, and that's what we're trying to do, allow people to live the American dream. And it all starts with business here and jobs here, and that's kind of what we're telling people. We've got to concentrate on this country for 5 years again, because a lot hasn't changed in the last 7 years. Rich, you might agree, in business, if I took away the snow out of my business that we had this year and some of the oil mining work, now that gas is down, we're in the same position economy-wise than we have been. So we have to continue to bring these jobs back in any this TPP or anything that hurts keeping work here. You know, we're touching the surface. Everybody, the movement is on. It is working. It's a slow process. We've got to believe and keep buying Made in America products and realize the relationship from the people's purchase to that manufacturing plant and realize how it creates a job every time we shop.
And I'm glad you said that, Mark, because this past week I went to two places to see how business was. I went to Kmart and I went back to Walmart this past week. And even the managers at Walmart will tell you that business is not where it used to be, because people are spending less because they have less to spend. And I in my Absolutely. Conversation with him, I say, do you realize what 50% of everything that's sold in your store being made in America would do for this country and for your customers? He says, I agree. Instead of giving people unemployment or welfare or any type of benefits to working age and able-bodied Americans, we'd be able to send them on to the next job opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, our working model, I call what I'm doing a working model, guys, because really I've got 5 stores, 3 websites. I've got a flagship store that's a destination. During the summer, people come there on your bikes, on the buses. Then I've got 3 mall stores. The malls are quiet, you know, this time. And then we've got a tourism destination at Niagara Falls, and we just tied with the Buffalo Erie Naval Park, another tourism destination. But the demographics at these places all change, so we track it. But when you go to the malls, you can really feel the retail. When I see Sears just having their own employees in it, no customers really, JCPenney's, these big names, economy's slow. You know, the Canadian dollar's down for us, so that affects sales at our one bigger mall. But we feel retail's down, no matter what they say. I can feel it. I got 8 fishing rods in the pond here. You know what I mean?
Oh, so absolutely.
That's how it works. And retail, it's just what it is. Like you said, the consumer confidence we got to bring up. We've got to get people working and maybe a solid job and an extra job, but better income jobs and raise and grow that middle class again.
Now, you
because
know,
that's what we're missing.
Larkin and Rich and Mark, you may have seen this because I noticed in the store, and then I went online to see it for myself. Walmart ads are now promoting investing in America. Have you seen them, Larkin?
Yes, I have. Yes. I've seen a few of them. Again, I emphasize what I think Mark said last week. Hold on for 2017. Made in America is going to be enormous. It really is going to be a major movement that has momentum. And, if you want to make things better, if you want to improve things, if you want tomorrow to be a better day than today, you have to make change.
Right. Now, Larkin,
improve without change.
Here is what the Walmart ad says. After years of mainly importing from around the world, Walmart believes in making a difference on the issues our customers and communities care about. We believe that we can create more jobs by supporting more American manufacturing. Jumpstarting the manufacturing industry and rebuilding the middle class requires a national effort by companies, industries, lawmakers, and others. This is from the Walmart ad. I'm reading it right from the Walmart ad. You can go online, Google it, and the ad comes up. Now, the problem is Walmart people see that people that don't have jobs don't have money. I mean, you can offer a product for 10 cents, and if you only have 8 cents, you're not able to make a sale. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. You know, and Walmart is Walmart, and I like Sam. I think Sam was a lot like me, you know, believed in helping the community, building stuff with their hands. I still truly love building and manufacturing and selling that product made here. And then it got lost. I think greed took over and growth. But Walmart, with the true, what nobody will really admit is that consumers, people, are demanding. People are getting smarter. We're educating the people. Wow, we wipe the jobs out. But people, they won't say that, and that bothers me a little bit. But people, and that's our listeners today, realize the power you have. You're making this change. You made Walmart put that ad on, truthfully. Yes, the fuel's going down and shipping's cost, but still the labor rate in China is not $10 an hour. You might be a dollar from a quarter, but you got to really think about how much power the people have here.
Right.
You won't credit that customer, but that customer drives every sale.
Absolutely. You hit the jackpot.
True.
You know, the ad continues by saying this: together, we can help spark a revolution of U.S.-based manufacturing by making production more affordable and feasible in the United States of America. We can bring our customers more U.S.-made products, and manufacturers can create more jobs. Go on Walmart's site. This is now their new campaign. Mark, they're following you. They're following our program. They're looking at David Muir and the ABC World News, and they're looking at their cash register. And they look at the cash register, and what should be going up 1%, 2% a year is flat.
Yeah, Mike, you know, when I opened the store April 3rd, 2010, we were blessed with 250 media interviews that year. And I felt the Walmart executives, you know, with my picture up on that board throwing knives at it. You know, where'd this guy? Because when we start that movement, once it's in motion, you can't stop it. They don't want to admit. I mean, the people are changing. The people are demanding. They're not buying certain things because they're asking them. They're driving them crazy, just like you do, Mike. And this is working. That's the working machine right now.
Now, a girl that I know mentioned that she's going to mail me a special ad, which I'll probably receive in the next day or so. And it's probably the text that I found on the internet. But in speaking with that manager, I was really pleased. The guy at Kmart said the same thing. The store is stocked, and a lot of that stuff's been sitting there. Thank God it's plastic and in cellophane bags. People over the cold winter just weren't buying anything. And I said, yes, the fuel bills and salt and shovels and everything else took those few dollars away. But those few dollars taken out of the cash register of the big stores helped bring this to reality. What the text means from the Walmart ad is that everybody's getting the message that without jobs for those who are unemployed, the economy is flat. And laying on the floor, you get tired of that. You want to get up and walk around. Because they also see that poor people can spend money like employed people can. Is that, you agree with that, Larkin?
Absolutely. Again, I apologize for being a little late this morning. I got in last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and guess where I was Monday and Tuesday? Washington, D.C.
Ooh.
And yesterday was an extremely interesting day for me. I was invited to attend the celebration of our SCORE chapter in Washington, D.C.'s top small business startups for 2015. It was a young compound pharmacy started by an Israeli citizen. It's actually a U.S. citizen, an immigrant. Also a small independent help agency that provides labor for temporary labor for small businesses all over Washington, D.C. The thing I came away from the luncheon saying to myself was, you know, we keep on saying jobs, 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 jobs. At this point, Walmart's ads and everything that they regurgitate day in and day out is purely lip service. The proof is what I find sitting on their shelves. The proof is the aggressive direction that they take to improve the situation in the small business community. And they're not involved with SCORE anywhere. They're not involved with any small assistance, small business assistance agency that's trying to start small businesses. The fact of the matter is we're going to struggle with this issue until we work very hard at repairing our supply chain in this country. And the supply chain in this country generally is small businesses.
Absolutely,
so
Larkin.
Until the federal government and Walmart and its buying habits and any of the other big boxes changes their initiative and decides that instead of entitlements, instead of trying to place the cheapest product on the shelf, they're actively going to go out and encourage the supply chain, the small businesses of this country, to get started back up and to start manufacturing. But what happens if you start another wigwam factory? Just imagine not only the people that are jobs that are created for the people in the area that that factory is located, but it's the insurance people are happier, the payroll people, all of the services that go along with supporting a company like that. But even more importantly, the manufacturer of the machinery that makes that sock. There aren't people sitting there with needles and sewing machines. Those socks are built with, you know, industrial looms of sorts. So,
incredible machine.
You know, we can talk about jobs until we're blue in the face, until we concentrate on initiatives that rebuild the supply chain in this country. If, again, Mark, you and I have talked about it a million times. We want a toaster. We still don't have a Made in America toaster, a reasonable one.
Larkin might have one by Christmas, but it might be heavier and bigger.
So the fact of the matter is that all of the components that go in that toaster for it truly to be a Made in America toaster need to be made in America.
Now,
and
Larkin.
There are certain circuitries and parts to a toaster that still aren't being made in this country, and we need to encourage. We need to get away from the tech stuff.
You know, Larkin, you're right. And wouldn't it be nice if we could go to Walmart or Kmart or wherever, go shopping to Best Buy, and go on the shelf, and on one side of the shelf there's an imported product, and there's 100% made in the USA on the other side. Why can't we have that?
I still say, you look at one end of the spectrum, and you've got big boxes. These are enormous stores. These are stores that if you hollowed them out, you could fit 75 small businesses in.
Absolutely.
Just in the square footage that they consume.
Absolutely.
And so you've got the big boxes on one end that are pressured to sell by price, that are pressured to hound, beat, and otherwise malign the people who supply those shelves to reduce the price. Instead of talking about quality, instead of talking about the origin of the products that they put on those shelves, until they actually take a definitive action, until President Obama stands up and says, we're going to take a significant percentage of entitlements in this country, and we're going to make an investment in this country by putting money, available capital on the street to rebuild the infrastructure of our country. Until that happens, this is all just lip service.
Now, Larkin, let me ask you this. And Rich and Mark, I want you to answer this question, too. I mean, you all have Walmarts near you. Larkin, is it possible for SCORE to look up some of its more expanding businesses, maybe businesses that have been in operation for 3-4 years that could walk into Walmart and say, we can at least supply you with a portion of 100% made in America products. When I discussed with the Walmart here in Northeast Philadelphia, the man started to give me the song and dance. This is over a year ago. That's before their most recent statement on their site. Just Google Walmart Buy American Made campaign and you'll see it'll come right up, and that text that I read is right on their site. The story is this. They say they want to help American manufacturers. many of the score people are American manufacturers. Maybe they can't supply the whole country, but maybe they could supply five local stores that Walmart has in any particular county in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, whatever.
Well, again, you got to understand a couple things. First of all, have to understand that, you know, generally small businesses are bricks and mortar services and or products that they, in fact, themselves resell, which makes them a competitor to some degree of Walmart's. That's not what we need to rebuild. We really need to build our supply chain. We need to build, you know, rebuild the individuals who want to manufacture goods that as component parts to larger items or that can be manufactured to a degree that they're eligible for the store. So, you know,
so you're talking about the manufacturers that manufacture thousands a week.
Walmart, exactly. But I mean, you know, you have to understand the beast. I've told the story before, and you know, I'll repeat it much quicker. But selling anything to Walmart is probably one of the most death-defying, emotionally draining events that any supplier will ever go through. I mean, Sam's Club, which is a part of Walmart, virtually has what looks like an airplane hangar. You walk in, you get a number, you're registered to see a buyer. You walk into a 10-by-6 room with a flat table and card table chairs. At the end, there's a cushy chair for the buyer, and you have 15 minutes to tell them exactly what it is you want to supply to Walmart or to Sam's Club. And it always comes down to price.
Yes.
You know, the Wrigley's guy walked out of there one day when I was waiting to take my turn to go in there to supply equipment to them. And he came in, he walked down to the bottom of the steps from the Sam's Club thing, and he said, I might as well take this slow road home to Chicago because I've just lost my job. And we all stood around and said, what are you talking about? And he said, Beeman's, or another one of the gum companies, came out with a 25-cent, five-stick pack of gum that is at the point-of-sale register. And we showed him our new line of what we're doing and packaging and everything, and they said, here's the deal. We want a five-stick pack for 25 cents at the cash register. And he said, all right, we can't do that. Nobody can manufacture. I mean, that might be somebody out there that's doing it for you now, Beeman's or one of the other companies, just to get the space or to create the cash flow. But we can't do that. And they said, thank you very much. It was great having you in our stores.
Hey, guys, you know, when we talk about Walmart, yeah, we are picking on Walmart today. And Lark and I, like when you say it's lip service, the proof is in the pudding. You know, China became the factory of the world, and Walmart was their steroids. You know,
yep.
They're the ones that grew China. Walmart, 10,000 plus stores. A lot of people don't realize also, so they lead with, you know, the throwaway world was great. Everybody's got more in their house, but it's junk. It's garbage. We've always said no inferior products connected to high wages. We, with Walmart, though, people don't realize that they keep the income of their wages down just below poverty so they get the free health care and everything for their individuals. That's a major problem for me because you're holding middle class down to grow retail sales. And, Rich, what's your point on – you know what I'm saying. They keep them just below so they can use – they can get handouts.
Well, here's what I'm
– it's a system. Here,
let me respond, Mark, if I may, first to one thing. And I'm not saying this to break chops, but let's first get out in the open that there's no such thing as free, right? Where the subsidies of Walmart workers see in lieu of paying more, which ties into a minimum wage discussion, in lieu of paying more to the workers, they get subsidies. So what taxpayers do is they subsidize additional incomes and benefits for Walmart workers, so Walmart doesn't need to pay that.
Okay, now, Rich, people
so
will ask, what exactly,
welfare? I mean,
what exactly does that mean, that they get subsidies?
Well, they get additional benefits, Michael, if they have children. There could be Medicaid, for example, health benefits. And look, guys, these aren't... I actually know quite a lot about this because I've done it in my business where I've worked with states in trying to prevent fraud for what's called WIC, Women and Infant Children,
absolutely,
which is a subsidy. And many of the people who receive those subsidies do work, right? They have a job of some sort. And I don't know the numbers about what percentage, Michael, are Walmart workers, but Walmart is the biggest employer.
You wouldn't believe it, Rick.
So the odds tell me that a lot of these people, Mark, who are working, right? They are working a job.
Yep.
Maybe they don't have all of the skills in the world and all of this, right? So they're working there, and I'm not putting down a Walmart worker saying that he or she is.
Me neither, not at all.
I'm just giving an economic fact. Many of the ones working there have to get subsidies. So instead of paying more, who pays for it? The taxpayers. Why, Mark? Because there is no such thing as free. So, and Michael, I'll add one other thing to it you were saying before. Just wait until the holidays roll back around, and we're going to watch Walmart do like they did last year, which is hold food drives for their own employees.
God.
Now, you guys tell me on this call right now that Sam Walton originally had that in mind, where his own workers would need to get food drives done on their behalf. I'm not a Walmart fan. I just want to be clear about
so
that.
Far,
but at one
yeah,
time, Sam
so
Walton had a rule when it came to buying that if materials for goods, Larkin, came in within 5% of American made, the buyers were instructed to buy American made. Today, who really runs the show at Walmart? The same people that run the show at all the big corporations.
You're right, Rich.
Publicly traded.
You're right.
They want all profit. Michael, they don't give a blankety blank about made in America. They could care less. Larkin, save 2 cents on a pack of gum? What's 2 cents times 40 million packs of gum that I could put in my pocket?
You know what? You just said something, Rich. Why can't the management of Walmart add to that statement that we will, if it's 5 or 10% more for an American-made product, we will put that American-made product in our shelf, and you understand that it will cost you 10% more to buy it. I think that's a reasonable way to do it.
Yeah,
if Sam did that,
balance.
God bless him.
We want a balance of manufacturing and retail, right? So right now we're way out of balance with Walmart and the retail buying overseas. We want the balance to be in this country. That's what we're talking about. Made in America products balancing with the retail. Manufacturing balancing with the end sale. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you one thing. When I go around, because I like to try to keep on top of what's happening in the stores and just take a look at 7 o'clock at night, 2 or 3 years ago, the stores would have a lot of people in them. 7, 8 o'clock at night now, it's a ghost town. That's almost unbelievable to me. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because people don't have money. They have to take care of their kids first, is the children. And secondly, they have to pay their regular utility bills and rents or mortgages, whatever. They have to put that number one. So buying discretionary items is not the thing that's the biggest concern. So don't go to the store and don't be tempted to buy something with money that you don't have.
And I don't know if you guys heard, but recently there was a former Olympic gold medalist who went from a man to a woman.
Oh, I didn't hear about that, Rich.
And now there's a debate, so-called, in mainstream media that he's not really she. I mean, guys, the insanity.
Now, You know, I'd like to see the press take that amount of time that they've given to this situation with Jenner and give it to the American made, the need for jobs and everything else.
Exactly.
All these idiots running around with microphones. What do you think of this? We got 50 opinions we're going to show to you in this week and all. Who cares? When people in this country don't have a job and they can't wake up in the morning knowing that they're needed somewhere, and at the end of the week they're going to get a paycheck. What exactly don't the people in Washington understand about that very simple concept? Every one of you, Larkin, you got up every day, you know where you wanted to go, you know where you were expected, and you know at the end of the week you would be paid. Same thing with you, Mark. I mean, you started from your small businesses, then you added up. Now you're an employer of 60 to 70 people. Rich, the same thing. You know, you went through some tough times. Every one of us learned, but we also learned that we have to work and have abilities to give something to get something in return. Sitting around waiting for Santa Claus is not the way to do it. Uncle Sam is not supposed to be there to do that.
Does it make sense if I say Walmart does not grow the middle class?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't like
people crushing. They're bone crushing. They're the heart of this absence of the middle class. All big boxers are, because the people that own big boxers, like the Walmart family, who are, but by the way, I think the one Jane Walmart that lives somewhere in the hills of Oklahoma is worth $9 billion. The other ones are worth even more than that. So there's no middle class involved here. There's not middle class wages being paid by Walmart.
Why don't they take them billions and build manufacturing plants, Larkin, and help score?
There you go, Larkin. You go in with that plan. Put her in an investment. Tell her she'll not only get an investment.
Why wouldn't you? Just support your country. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if anybody read Sam Walton's book, and I have, you'll know that he's rolling in his grave right now.
Oh, absolutely.
This is what he intended. Absolutely.
You know, Larkin, I'd love for you to send us that information. I'll post it on our site, where he said, if it's in with 5 or 10%, give it to an American company. I think that's what Walmart should start striving for.
Well, Walmart, Michael, most humongous publicly traded corporations, they don't ultimately really call their own shots, right? There are executives, and if we think it's hard getting people to vote for president in Congress, try getting them to vote for shareholder meetings.
Yeah, but that's right, Rich. But when the shareholders are looking at the statement, and the statement hasn't gone up that much this year, hey, they say, well, maybe it's time to start looking at a new way to do something so we make a few extra pennies on a dollar.
Yeah, but Michael, you know, the little old lady with the 10 shares, 20 shares, guys, we know this. They're not the ones. The ones calling the shots are, right, all the same institutions that got a TARP bailout, right? The banks, the financial institutions, the investment companies, the hedge funds. You talk about lottery winners, Larkin. Well, they had to get bailed out so all their kids could go and live in Soho, hang out all day, raise the slice of pizza to $6. You know why the president don't talk about them directly? Because most of them vote Democrat. That's why. Lottery. You're damn right, lottery. They make the Powerball people would blush at that kind of money that came out of TARP, Michael. Where do you think it went? It went to the real lottery winners who have funded both political parties, in particular the Democrats, for years.
Yeah. And that's why I appreciate people going to our site and contacting their elected officials. I just had a very nice conversation with an elected official who told me that as a result of people listening to our efforts here on the radio and me going out in some of the community events talking up, they've received some real good contacts from people. And as a result of those contacts with people, they are now taking action. You see, all the political people can sit back if they really don't hear from the constituents. But now the constituents are slowly but surely speaking up. And that's the bottom line.
That's not the bottom line at all. They're listening to their constituents because their constituents are folks. That's their only concern. Are you going to tell me there's somebody in Washington, D.C. that gives a hootenanny where this country is 10 years from now? They couldn't care less where
they
are.
No, of course they don't work it because they get all the benefits out of office. They got all speaking engagements and lobbyist jobs. These laws that go into effect, whether it's passed by Republicans or passed by Democrats or both, it does not affect them because they'll just go back to buying insider trading stocks like they've been doing for years also.
You know what?
And most of America has no idea, Michael. They have no friggin'
idea.
At all.
You're right.
Nothing.
Here's the question I have for you. And I was told they would give me the answer. Nobody's asked this question. But I sat here with my wife and said, you know, I really don't care about the Dennis Hastert story. I really don't. I mean, the statute of limitations and this, that, and the other thing, whatever. Egregious, yes. Violent and foul, couldn't possibly be more violent and foul. But listen, why doesn't somebody tell me that a guy who was a high school teacher and a wrestling coach who ran for Congress on his 35th birthday and was the Speaker of the House when he was 64 had $5 million in the bank to pay a payoff?
Yeah.
Where'd the $5 million come from? Anybody ever ask that question? How does a high school wrestling coach become Speaker of the House and come up with $5 million of expendable income that he can use to pay somebody off?
Well, look, if he was doing wrestler training, he must have trained Hulk Hogan. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. Brother, let me tell you something. Hey, Esther, brother, you're going to go to Speaker of the House, and I'm going to body slam Andre the Giant. Well, Larkin, you know, people don't know.
Everybody's
I mean, come on. Today's the cuckoo hour, Michael. Today's show.
He obviously,
you know what?
I mean, the kid was paying $5 million to this guy now, who was obviously accepting the money. Couldn't have been too terribly screwed up as a result of this. I mean, I have no idea. He's certainly capable of collecting the $5 million and spending it somewhere.
Well, sure, because Larkin, everything is provided for these people. Their transportation comes from a separate budget. They have lunches and dinners and haircuts and everything is provided for them. So
No. You can make $150,000 a year, present value, on your 30th birthday, and when you're 65, you don't have $5 million. In fact. You just don't. I'm sorry.
Somebody was a good investor or a good person who knew how to maneuver the campaign funds into other areas. You know, I've seen it happen where somebody had a big campaign chest and the next thing you know, they didn't run and the campaign chest just sat around. Maybe he combined that. That is a good question, Larkin, an extremely good question. And it's a reflection of probably many of those people in Washington. They went poor and left very, very wealthy.
Every one of them. Multi-millionaires. How does that happen?
Yeah,
I just don't
that's
get
the problem. Selfish.
I am going to send you a link today when I'm done. The best of Martha Stewart. I don't know if you've seen any of that, but you'll really enjoy this, Larkin and Rich and Mark. And if anybody wants it, you can contact me and I'll email it to you. It's very, very interesting.
Hey, guys, I want to switch gears a little bit here on skilled trades. I'm having some success. I want to talk positive about the success I've had with this Alfred State Technical School in New York State I've tied with over the past year, and I've got 5 students right now. They're on break between their first year and second year, and these a bunch of them are stars, guys. It's really impressive to see, and I've got 2 from Lincoln Tech Welding School that I hired full-time, and that's working out wonderful. So, I mean, there's hope. We just need more classes, more students going. But to see these young guys I've got, and Larkin, you'd appreciate it because they're within a 20-mile radius of me by chance. Alfred takes students from Pennsylvania, Ohio, all around the country. I was blessed. These 5 are within the limits of driving here over the summer, but after they finish their second year, they'll be coming to join me. And I see enthusiasm in them. They're loving what they're doing. So it gives me hope that if we can change our schools and education system and allow these kids to try working with their hands, we will have success.
You know, maybe now that the school season is coming to an end, we can speak more closely with some of the educators. Maybe I can talk with even Dr. Szymański and Walt and some of Walt Jakubowski, some of the people, maybe bring in some other teachers who would be able to share their opinions over the summer months. Gentlemen, I have to say this. I have to take a moment to acknowledge some of our good people before we say dovidzenia, goodbye today. Thanks for supporting the American flag and American workers. Best wishes to all from Leon Mankuski, attorney at law, from Serena's Auto Body Shop, from the Net Cost Market, from the PRCUA, from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, from Dr. Eva Machak, from Mr. Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, from Polka Deli in Port Richmond, as well as the Polish American Travel Service, from Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, from Washington Savings Bank and their five locations in Philadelphia, as well as from Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, and Karen Janad from State Farm Insurance. And for a great smile, remember Dr. Wojciech Zin of Everest Dental, and best wishes and thanks for flying your American flag from Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance. And don't forget that Mark is one of the most patriotic people that we know, and he has a catalog, military and patriotic catalog. Please go on his site, check him out. He's linked right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, gentlemen, tell me something that you think is going to happen this week. We'll begin with Rich.
Well, guys, I'm going to make a quick note here that regarding Flag Day, when my mother-in-law from Poland came to visit a few years ago, one of the things she noted at the end of her trip was how prevalent the flag was, that she saw it everywhere we went. And she commented, it's just not something that's done like that in Poland, Michael. So she herself, visiting for a few weeks, noticed that. So I got to give a shout out, Mark, to you, and a plug here that people who need flags, they need to get them from you. American flags should be made in America. We can agree that foreign investment is needed. We can say that things that are made overseas doesn't mean they can't be good quality. American-made quality, though, it's why, Michael, people, manufacturers will be sure to put on, if something is made in China or elsewhere, that it was designed with loving care here in America.
Yeah, walk to the next store if they don't have it made in America. You'll find it, because we have a number of growing flag makers, including Valley Forge and Annan, and a few others are coming up, smaller companies, but do buy the American flag only made in America. Mr. Mark, how would you like to end off our broadcast today?
Yeah, Rich, you guys just touched on Flag Day, and it's the flag. It stands for everything, especially our veterans and the men and women and children that built this country. That flag flies, and I love America, and I'm not ashamed to say that. Let's support Flag Day this Sunday. We got Father's Day coming up, and then we got the big 4th coming up. These are all big, big holidays, and do a little homework, find out what they're really about, and to support them all. It helps everybody. When you go out and buy for Father's Day and the 4th of July, buy Made in America. That's your time, as our listeners and us, our panel here, can make a difference. So, God bless and have a great week, guys.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. And Larkin, your final thoughts today.
Well, I would just like to ask my fellow Americans to step outside their little bubble and start asking questions. Start asking why things are the way they are and what can be done to improve them. Unfortunately, we're lost in our own little worlds, and if we can get it at a price that we want, we sometimes throw caution to the wind and leave Made in America behind. Start caring.
You're right. God bless you, Larkin. Thank you so much, Mark. Rich, thank you. Listeners, people that I meet in my travels, thanks for keeping me in your thoughts, and you can always email me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. Please do go and check out the information on the front page of our internet site. That's AmericanWorkersRadio.com. My thanks to our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and to all of our sponsors. We will be advertising them throughout all of the programs the rest of the week. And you'll be able to have a rebroadcast of today's show available in about an hour and a half right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Have a great one, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
You too, guys. Have a great week.